Time now for your comments. Earlier this week, we marked the Ides of March with NPR's Robert Krulwich, and many of you wrote with a numerical complaint about his examination of Julius Caesar's last breath. Eric Hansen of McLean, Virginia writes, "Although I enjoyed your piece commemorating the 2,050th anniversary of Caesar's death, I am sad to report you aired it a year early. Since there is no year zero skipping from 1 BC to 1 AD, it is only the 2049th anniversary." Here's what Robert had to say about that.
You know, I've heard this before. The same people, for the same reason, said we should not celebrate the millennium in 2000. To be accurate, they said we should wait a year, celebrate in 2001. Now, technically, they were right. But the truth is, when you see a nice round number like 2000 or with Caesar 2050, even though you're a little ahead of time, you celebrate anyway.
And in a story on San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, we said the town, which is home to many foreign expatriates, has filtered water flowing from its taps. Visitors should be warned the water is not filtered. And in a story on NASA's Stardust mission, we mispronounced the name of the comet. It's not Wild 2, but Wild 2, after its Swiss discoverer. And there's an omission we regret. Several months ago, Morning Edition interviewed New York Times columnist David Pogue about a company in the San Francisco Bay Area called Drive Savers. The company recovers data from crashed hard drives. In a review of the company for The Times, David Pogue wrote that Drive Savers recovered data from his computer at no charge. That's a $2,000 value. But on Morning Edition, he did not. We should have disclosed that fact or not aired the interview. For that failure, we and David Pogue apologize. Finally, for our series on privacy, we ask a blogger about the risks of sharing personal details online. Listener Gabriel Baun has this story about helping a judge scan the internet profiles of law clerk applicants before hiring anyone.
One of the applicants, who seemed perfectly pleasant during her interview, was put at a major disadvantage when the judge saw pictures of her drunk and passed out on her MySpace page. Another applicant's page made him look like, in the judge's words, a pretentious idiot. This despite the fact that he seemed very down to earth in his interview. But the applicant ended up getting the job. In the end, we decided that it would probably be poor judgment on our part to think that we could really discover what someone was like by studying their MySpace page.
And that was listener Gabriel Baun. And if you don't mind millions of listeners hearing them, you can send your comments to Morning Edition. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us.